Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Wednesday, September 29th, 2021. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, Amazon's Astro robot apparently has a nasty tendency of throwing itself down the stairs. Netflix acquires its first game studio. The interesting company that acquired Genius and now Imgur, explaining Facebook's interest in the tween audience. And Angelus wants to offer founders Startup Foundation as a service. Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. Let's talk about Amazon's Astro, shall we? That robot that Amazon announced at the event yesterday. Much like Apple is rumored to be planning on a high-end, expensive pair of AR glasses as their first foray into the market so that they can learn what the product is actually good for before going mass market, Amazon clearly hopes we'll look back one day at Astro and see it as the historic first foray into a new consumer product category. But also they're looking to learn, perhaps as evidenced by the rough edges around this product. Vice's motherboard outlet was reporting on internal documents that detail Astro's use of facial recognition and sentry mode. Sources who worked on Astro say it is a, quote, privacy nightmare, among other issues, quoting motherboard. In its announcement video, Amazon says Astro is designed to give peace of mind to its owners. First and foremost, Astro is a surveillance device that tracks you and everyone who enters your home. When a user purchases the $999 robot, customers are asked to enroll their face and voice, as well as the faces and voices of anyone who is likely to be in a home, so Astro can learn who is supposed to be there. One of the internal documentation files presented in a development meeting and obtained by Motherboard describes how Astro patrols an owner's home and tries to identify people it encounters. Other files refer to Sentry, the components and software that control the device's security features. Sentry software includes integration with Ring cameras and Alexa Guard, Amazon's home security service. The meeting document spells out the process in a much blunter way than Amazon's cutesy marketing suggests. Quote, Vesta, that's the internal code name for Astro at Amazon, slowly and intelligently patrols the home when unfamiliar persons are around, moving from scan point to scan point, the best location and pose in any given space to look around, looking and listening for unusual activity, one of the files reads. Vesta moves to a predetermined scan point and pose to scan any given room, looking past and over obstacles in its way. Vesta completes one complete patrol when it completes scanning all the scan points on the floor plan, end quote. If the robot detects what it thinks is something out of the ordinary, such as seeing a person it doesn't recognize, or a sound like glass breaking, or a fire alarm, it will investigate further, including following an unidentified person around the house, the file reads. Quote, Sentry is required to investigate any unrecognized person detected by it or audio event in certain set of conditions are met, one file reads. The weird grammar there is theirs, not mine. Quote, Sentry should first try to identify the person if they are not still unrecognized for as long as 30 seconds. When the person is identified as unknown or 30 seconds has passed, Sentry should start following a person until Sentry mode is turned off, end quote. But that's not the only issue with Astro, apparently. Quote, Astro is terrible and will almost certainly throw itself down a flight of stairs if presented the opportunity. The person detection is unreliable at best, making the in-home security proposition laughable, a source who worked on the project said. The device feels fragile for something with an absurd cost. The mast has broken on several devices, locking itself in the extended or retracted position, and there's no way to ship it to Amazon when that happens. They're also pushing it as an accessibility device, but with the mast breaking and the possibility that at any given moment it'll commit suicide on a flight of stairs, it's at best absurdist nonsense and marketing, and at worst, potentially dangerous for anyone who'd actually rely on it for accessibility purposes, the source said. Another source who worked on the project mentioned privacy and navigation as chief concerns. Quote, as for my personal opinions on the device, it's a disaster that's not ready for release, they said. They break themselves and will almost certainly fall downstairs in real-world users' homes. In addition, it's also, in my opinion, a privacy nightmare that is an indictment of our society and how we trade privacy for convenience with devices like Vesta, end quote. Netflix is serious about gaming, so much so that the company has acquired its first game studio, Night School Studio, which was founded back in 2014 and is probably best known for the game Oxenfree, quoting VentureBeat. The Glendale, California-based game studio has 21 people and a history of pushing the boundaries for storytelling in games. It published Oxenfree in 2016 and has been working on Oxenfree 2 Lost Signals for the Switch. And yes, this means that Netflix is serious about moving into games, and it isn't just focusing on mobile, as the company hinted in an earlier earnings call. The original Oxenfree is available across 8 platforms on mobile, console, and PC. We're in the early stages of creating a great gaming experience for our members around the world, so we're excited to announce today Night School Studios is joining Netflix, said Mike Verdu, head of games at Netflix, in a blog post. Verdu noted, no in-app purchases and no ads will appear in any Netflix games, which will be available via subscription to Netflix, end quote. This fell through the cracks yesterday, but image sharing service Imgur has been acquired by Media Lab, which also owns Kick, Whisper, Genius, as we told you about recently, World Star Hip Hop, and other brands. Imgur says it has 300 million users, but what's really interesting to me at this point is the acquirer, Media Lab. Quote, what exactly the acquisition means for the future of Imgur is unclear, but it's hard to read this as positive news for the site. Media Lab isn't explicit about its business model. You won't find much information on their website. But it seems to be mainly focused on acquiring ailing brands with sizable but stagnant communities. Presumably, the goal is to bundle together traffic from these properties to sell ads or data while cutting costs by sharing the work of keeping the sites running. For example, the once-hyped Genius was bought by Media Lab earlier this month for $80 million. Reportedly less than what it had raised in venture capital over the years. Kick and Whisper were similarly once hot properties that have since faded from prominence. Imgur's blog post announcing the acquisition reads like something close to a farewell note. Quote, it's been an absolute honor to create this corner of the internet alongside this incredible community, end quote, even though the company insists its, quote, journey is far from over, end quote. So I'm going to try to learn some more about Media Lab. It's not often that a company attempts to find success by creating a sort of conglomerate or holding company of underappreciated digital companies. By far, the exemplar of this is IAC, of course. But IAC clearly had a vision for a time when subscription services were the hotness, which has come to pass. It's unclear to me what stitching together all of these arguably failed digital assets would accomplish for Media Lab. Microsoft has opened the Windows App Store to third-party app stores. Amazon and Epic Games will be the first storefront apps in the coming months, quoting The Verge. Just like any other app, third-party storefront apps will have a product detail page, which can be found via search or by browsing, so that users can easily find and install it with the same confidence as any other app in the Microsoft Store on Windows, explains Giorgio Sardo, general manager of the Microsoft Store. Today, we are sharing that Amazon and Epic Games will bring their storefront apps to the Microsoft Store over the next few months, and we look forward to welcoming other stores as well in the future, end quote. The news comes months after Microsoft announced some major changes to the Microsoft Store. Not only is the store being overhauled for Windows 11 and eventually Windows 10, but Microsoft will also let developers keep 100% of the revenue from apps if they use alternative payment platforms. The only exception is that this doesn't apply to games. While Steam, for example, isn't on the list yet, it could still arrive in the future. Microsoft's commitment to being an, quote, open store for an open platform will now allow for any third-party storefront apps to be listed in the Microsoft Store on Windows. That doesn't mean separate apps and games from rival stores will be discoverable and installable, but the storefront apps will be listed in search results. The only difference here is with Microsoft's partnership with Amazon. Microsoft is bringing Android apps to Windows 11, and that includes the ability to discover and search the Amazon App Store directly from within the Microsoft Store. A preview of this integration will be available for Windows Insiders soon, end quote. How do you make a password that's strong enough so no one will guess it, and it's impossible for you to forget, and do it for 100 different sites, and make it so everyone in your company can do the same without ever needing to reset them? Sounds impossible unless you have 1Password. More than any other product I've ever told you about, I can vouch 1,000% for 1Password. I can't live without it. 1Password makes strong security easy for your people and gives you the visibility you need to take action when you need to. Any device, anytime, 1Password lets you securely switch between iPhone, Android, Mac, and PC with convenient features like autofill for quick sign-ins. All you have to remember is the one strong account password that protects everything else. Your logins, your credit cards, secure notes, or the office Wi-Fi password. 1Password's award-winning password manager is trusted by millions of users and over 100,000 businesses from IBM to Slack. It beat out 40 other options to become Wirecutter's top pick for password managers. Right now, my listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/ride for your growing business. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/ride. Don't let security slow your business down. Go to 1Password.com/ride. I'm going to a big AI startup demo day here in the city tomorrow, and I will 100% be decked out in Mack Weldon clothing. Why? Well, Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. That's their AirKnit underwear. Crazy, comfortable, but elevated sweatpants, the Ace Collection. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads, the Silver Peak Polo. That's my personal fave. And ultra-soft antimicrobial tees for when you need to stay fresh longer. Their silver crewneck t-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code RIDE. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code RIDE. More internal Facebook documents from the Wall Street Journal. According to the docs, Facebook was, quote, exploring playdates as a growth lever, including engaging tweens as they hang out together. Remember, this is all about the fact that Facebook wanted more growth and they saw tweens as the most fertile ground to go after. And this was about competition as well. Since Facebook is testifying before Congress about this issue tomorrow, I thought it was worth understanding why this was the route that they thought was important to go down. Quote, internal Facebook documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal show the company formed a team to study preteens, set a 3-year goal to create more products for them, and commissioned strategy papers about the long-term business opportunities presented by these potential users. In one presentation, it contemplated whether there might be a way to engage children during playdates. Quote, why do we care about tweens? Said one document from 2020. They are a valuable but untapped audience. End quote. Facebook isn't the only technology company to court children and face scrutiny for doing so. Virtually every major social media platform, including ByteDance's TikTok and YouTube, has confronted legal or regulatory problems related to how children use its products. Federal privacy law forbids data collection on children under 13, and lawmakers have criticized tech companies for not doing more to protect kids online from predators and harmful content. The Facebook documents show that the competition from rivals, in particular Snap Incorporated's Snapchat and TikTok, is a motivating factor behind Facebook's work. Over the past 5 years, Facebook has made what it called big bets on designing products that would appeal to preteens across its services, according to a document from earlier this year. In more than a dozen studies over that period, the documents show Facebook has tried to understand which products might resonate with children and tweens, ages 10 through 12, how those young people view competitors' apps, and what concerns their parents. Quote, with the ubiquity of tablets and phones, kids are getting on the internet as young as 6 years old. We can't ignore this, and we have a responsibility to figure it out, said a 2018 document labeled confidential. Quote, imagine a Facebook experience designed for youth, end quote. Quote, global teen penetration on Facebook is low and acquisition appears to be slowing down, a March 2021 document states. In the U.S., the daily number of teens using Facebook has fallen by 19% over the past 2 years, another document noted, and would likely fall by an additional 45% by 2023. A Pew Research Center survey from 2020 found that among 9 to 11-year-olds, 30% said they use TikTok, 22% said they use Snapchat, 11% said they used Instagram, and 6% Facebook. A Facebook team studying preteens set a 3-year goal to figure out how to provide young people with social media products built just for them. They noted that figuring out how to reach them would be just half the challenge. Convincing their parents that the products are safe would be the other half. The team focused on the benefits, mostly around connecting more easily with friends and family, that they believed social media could bring to the younger generation. Quote, "We have a historic opportunity for youth to experience the same positive benefits we have through social media and more," one of the members of the youth team wrote in a document. Facebook also created a $1 million research fund to study tech's long-term impact on children. A Facebook spokesman said the company recently announced it was supporting the creation of a digital wellness lab at Boston Children's Hospital. Social media's uncomfortable relationship with children was on display at a Facebook event in June when star Instagram influencer JoJo Siwa blurted out during a question and answer session that she had been active on the platform for almost a decade. Ms. Siwa is 18 years old. Quote, "I don't want to hear it," replied Mr. Mosseri, Instagram's head, who was conducting the online event. Ms. Siwa said she had fans and followers under age 13 and wanted to be able to make content for them. She said young kids are drawn to the bright, quick nature of content on Instagram and that she hoped there would be a product built for them. Quote, "The key thing is making sure you keep kids safe," Mr. Mosseri said. "But like you said, you can lie about your age now, so our hope is to build a version that's designed for kids," end quote. Finally today, you know that I launched the Ride Home Fund on AngelList, because AngelList has this insane platform that just lets you turnkey launch your own fund. It's pretty miraculous what they do. They do all the paperwork, the incorporation, the organizing of LPs, calculation of returns, tax paperwork, etc. It's fundraising and management as a service, but that's inside baseball talk. What's more relevant to you probably out there listening, who are more likely to be founders yourselves, is that AngelList wants to do this same sort of turnkey thing, this same sort of just let's set it up for you thing, for founding a company. They've launched AngelList Stack, a set of tools to help founders start and run their companies, including end-to-end incorporation and banking services. So essentially, think of this as startup founding as a service, quoting TechCrunch. The new software will cover four bases: end-to-end incorporation, business banking, advisor equity grants, and cap table management. Every time you actually go to start a company, you start off with this optimism, said AngelList CEO Avlak Kohli. You have this idea, you're super confident, and you want to go do it, and then there is all this mundane stuff that you have to figure out, end quote. The idea with AngelList Stack is to take some of those mundane and arcane processes of starting a company and make it simpler, said Kohli, who was a repeat founder before joining AngelList. The end-to-end incorporation service will help founders figure out the paperwork of actually starting a company, from which state to incorporate in, to what kind of business classification to pursue. It will also help founders track and file 83B filings, a niche but important document for those with equity that can cost millions in back taxes if done wrong. The banking tool has two parts: deposit accounts with interest and debit cards. Both accounts make it easier for founders to automatically accept wire transfers from investors, which can then blend into AngelList's new cap table tool. The cap tool will include issuing digital shares, safes, reporting, 409As, and employee option grants. Quote, founders can raise their first safe round entirely on Stack by sending a link to investors to digitally sign the safe, the company said in a statement. Once the funds arrive in the bank account, investors are automatically added to the cap table, end quote. AngelList Stack has echoes of Carta, formerly named eShares. While AngelList launched with a focus on angels and venture, Carta broke out with a focus on employees and founders. Over time, both pursued scale, with Carta taking over cap table land and AngelList taking over syndicates and fund operations. As both companies mature, they are overlapping in their vision to be an end-to-end stack for venture and startups. AngelList, comparatively, is a smaller organization than Carta, with only $26.2 million in venture capital raised to date per Crunchbase. While the ability to raise capital doesn't necessarily illustrate the ability of a company to be successful, it can give the startup runway when its customers, other startups, face volatility. Both companies had layoffs amid the early innings of the COVID-19 pandemic. For signals of how much has changed since, AngelList says that it has nearly doubled its staff to 95 people over the past year to keep up with its product roadmap. And Carta recently valued its own cap table management and valuation service at $7.4 billion. At launch, AngelList Stack services are free, but AngelList will eventually monetize through SaaS management fees or through transaction fees on its financial tooling, end quote. No Twitter space tonight. Chris is traveling, and also we have part two of the World Cup of Entrepreneurs in the bag for this weekend, so won't see you on Twitter tonight, but we'll talk to you as always tomorrow.